Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, welcome to our program.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Good to see you here today, yeah, as usual. But we have a special guest today that will be a very special program.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to go ahead and introduce her, Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan. And recently, we found an article her and I was so impressed. Somebody at the state level, the grassroots level, yeah, and they're talking about foreign policy.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
It was a great article. Janice, welcome to our program.
Well, good morning, Honorable Ron Paul, and it's great to be with you this morning.
Well, great. You know, and I'm very serious about this, how exciting it is about grassroots efforts and local efforts. And I thought, well, how can we get the state government technically involved even in legislation or making a statement? Well, every citizen should make a statement. That's the only way we finally ended a disaster in Vietnam. You know, people spoke out and said, enough is enough. But in your case, you've worked into a way to address this subject in a legal fashion by offering, along with some help in your legislature, some legislation that said, bring our troops home. And because you have some responsibility, you have the National Guard, you have this, you know, State Guard to deal with, and so you have some direct responsibility. All Americans have responsibility, and we wouldn't have this disaster that you talked about so clearly in your article about why are we doing these crazy things and why are we overseas? It's time to bring the troops home. So I want to congratulate you first for having this position, and second for speaking out and working for the veterans, for bringing our troops home. And I think this is where the answer is. It has to be at the grassroots level, because the one thing I knew in Washington is that they are completely divorced from the grassroots, and they don't realize, they get embedded, they think they're really running the show up there. Eventually people will realize that the real effort has to be with what the people think and what they put up with, and if they put up with nonsense, that's what they're going to get. But what I see with you speaking out, you're actually getting to the point of saying the people in the states ought to talk about foreign policy as well. So congratulations on your article and welcome to our program.
Well, thank you, sir. And as it should be, and I'm not the only one that's across the country that is getting engaged on this issue. And as we speak, I think there are 10 or 11 states that are, because of the fact that Congress is not doing their job, they're abdicating their duty, and we have to follow our Constitution, where our Constitution says whose job it is to declare war, and it is Congress. It is their responsibility that if our troops are going to be if our men and women are going to be placed in harm's way, then it's Congress's responsibility to declare the war, have a defined mission, have our troops go over, do their job, and then accomplish the mission, and then come back home. And that's not what's happening in our country, and especially the war in Afghanistan, the longest war going on, longest war ever in our country, and still Congress is turning a blind eye to what's happening over there in Afghanistan. And I, for one, along with so many other Idahoans, Gold Star moms, we're tired of having to bring our men and women home in a body bag. It's time for this war to end. It's time for Congress to do their job. And if they're going to continue to be derelict in their duty, then the states need to step up. And this is what we see happening across the nation. And we're seeing a real growing grassroots support for this effort.
Right. And I see what you're doing is breaking new ground in getting people activated at the state level. But so far, since you've been involved, you've been Lieutenant Governor for a year. You may have had these views a lot longer. But what's the reception? Although there's not legislation passed, there's legislation proposed. Are you getting a lot of kickback from people? How about Republicans and Democrats? How do they do this? Are most people ignoring you, or are most people saying, go, go, go? What's the reception been like?
Well, it's being driven by the grassroots and being driven by many, many of our veterans here. We have a lot of veterans here in Idaho, and they're the ones that are driving this.
Wonderful.
And yes, there are people that are pushing back, but it's a bipartisan effort, it's a grassroots effort, and it's our job to help educate, and it's time to have the debate. on this issue.
Wonderful. Daniel.
Well, you know, as you may know, Lieutenant Governor, we're all about building coalitions, broad coalitions. And Dr. Paul, when he was in Congress, spent a lot of time working with progressives and doing his best working with some conservatives as well. But, you know, the key, I think, to all of this war and peace issue is getting the broadest coalition and really attracting conservatives into the anti-war movement. Now, traditionally, we think about people like Jimmy Duncan and the late Walter Jones. They would remind us that traditionally it's a conservative issue to be hesitant about war, which is the number one big state adventure. But it has been tricky attracting Republicans, attracting conservatives, because of this sort of wrong idea that you're somehow wimpy if you oppose war. And we really applaud your effort to get conservatives on board. This is something that you wrote in a recent article. Even if you have no moral issue with police in the world, American taxpayers simply can't afford it. That's a great point to make. What other things are you hearing that really resound with conservatives to get them attracted to this issue of bringing the troops home?
It's all about returning back to the principles that are in our Constitution. And that's why it's so appropriate that it does come from those of us who are very, you know, more conservative and follow and respect our Constitution, rather than our friends on the other side of the aisle who sometimes try to politicize these things. It's not about politics. It's about following our Constitution. And our Constitution is very clear what it says when we're talking about putting our men and women in harm's way. And so that's what's driving the movement, on top of being a grassroots movement from being led by our veterans, is that we've gone so far, we've strayed so far away from the underlying principles of our Constitution. And it's time that we return back to those guiding principles.
You know, too often we assume that everybody's against us and we don't have many people with us. And yet, I think Tulsi Gabbard has realized, and I had this same thing happen to me when I ran, that the military personnel, and you also, you do work with veterans a lot, that they're the ones have a say-so, and they should, and they should have a lot of credibility. But we make these assumptions because we hear it on the television endlessly, and the politicians are sort of wimps, and they're motivated probably in Washington by the military-industrial complex. But I think you cite in your article a few polls then that shows that even at the grassroots level, there's a fair number of people at the grassroots that really already support us if we just get them excited and get the message to them.
Absolutely. And as you said in your book, Congressman Paul, that the more that we carelessly enter into these conflicts, it's true that it does further put us, it makes us vulnerable at home, because we know that we have limited resources, and when we're spread so thin across the rest of the world, it does put the security and the safety of our nation at risk.
All right. Daniel.
You mentioned in the recent article that caught our attention, antiwar.com featured it, and so it caught a lot of our attention, but a couple of really important poll numbers. First of all, 58% of vets say that the Afghanistan war was not worth fighting. But here's an incredible one. I think we may have done a show about this, Dr. Paul. A Politico poll found that 81% of Trump voters support withdrawal from Afghanistan. Why do you, without necessarily being critical of the president, why do you think he's incapable with such overwhelming support for his positions? Why has there been so little movement in that direction?
I think it's just a matter of education, and that's what this effort is all about. We're setting out to help educate members of the legislature, members of our community here in Idaho. The bill is set to be introduced sometime this week. And so it's our job to help educate the public and help educate the policymakers. And I also understand that this week Senator Rand Paul is going to be starting to conduct hearings about some of the information that has come out in the Afghanistan papers. And it's all about education. When we learn as a society, as citizens, when we learn that Congress has carelessly appropriated money, $52 million for a natural gas processing site in Afghanistan, and there's no natural gas over there, $100 million to build a high-rise hotel that the Taliban used to stand on the top floor and shoot into our U.S. embassy. It's all about education, and as these facts are coming out, and more and more people are becoming aware of what is happening, especially in Afghanistan, I think that's where the surge of support will come, is from the people of Idaho, the people from states all across the country. In West Virginia, I think it's very interesting. It's a delegate McGeehan, so there's two McGeehans working on this. There's a poll out there, a 3-1 poll in West Virginia, of the people who support his efforts. And the more we learn about what's happening in Afghanistan, especially in Afghanistan, the more I believe that this will be driven by the grassroots, by the people across America, because we're not welcome over there in Afghanistan. The recent incident that happened over there over the weekend, it is just disgusting that our troops are over there trying to train, they're providing training and assistance to the Afghan military police. And what happens from that effort? An Afghan police comes out while our men and women are standing in the field waiting to be picked up. The Afghan police officer comes out with a machine gun and just literally mows them down. It's sickening and it's disgusting what is happening over there. And it's time for it to end. The people, we should not be interfering in that level, their government over there, and they view us as the antagonist. And so as more of this information starts to come out, I think that the people of this country will rise up and demand, this is the way it should be, that Congress needs to be doing their job.
And I think that's absolutely right. I think it's easy to draw the line and get people's attention when we talk about Iran, Iraq, and Syria, where the troops are in there, a lot of people are dying. But then there's the other side of the story about an interventionist foreign policy, because even though there might not be hostilities going on, we're still very much involved. We get involved in elections. We're in 170 countries. We participate in coup of all things. So how far are you willing to say that we should just get out, not only on these activities and war and killing, but try to work away from this intervention and us being involved? And we're in 170 countries now, so I like to draw a line a little closer to home.
I agree with you, and I believe that we're spreading our resources too thin. And our leaders, those in Congress, they need to do their job. If we are going to be in a combat, send our men and women into combat duty, they need to clearly define, and they need to work with our military leaders to clearly define what that mission is, go over, accomplish the mission, and then come home. We have plenty of challenges right here on our own soil that we need to contend with. And my hope is that through this, our president is very supportive of the idea of bringing our troops home. He just, in his State of the Union address last week, made several comments along that line, saying that our troops are the best in the world, and they want to fight to win or not fight at all. He was quoted as saying, "We are working to finally end America's longest war and bring our troops back home." And he also said that war places a heavy burden on our nation's extraordinary military families. So our president is committed to this, but we need Congress to act. And so I think that's what we're trying to do, is bring education to the members of our Congress so that people, this is Sergeant Webb, who went and served in Afghanistan and Iraq. I've gotten to know so many. He came home and unfortunately was one of those who suffered from PTSD. He committed suicide. There's so many others that I have gotten to know personally Sergeant Chris Workman, who was killed in a helicopter accident over there in Afghanistan. And just a few months ago, former mayor of Ammon, Idaho, where I'm from, a small town, Idaho. These things are affecting us because these are people that we know. These are people we love and know. And the veterans that I've met, Sergeant Dan McKnight and Ben Adams, they have come back to Idaho and they are leading the effort here. These people that I've met and gotten to know them personally, and they've suffered greatly. They have seen things that no person should be exposed to, and it's frustrating that we are caught in this conflict where we don't know what the rules of engagement are, and they get caught up in these cultural differences, and they suffer greatly. Yeah. Come home, they suffer greatly. But I'm glad to see that these individuals are able to grow beyond some of the difficult things they've experienced and put that energy to good use to help bring greater public awareness to this issue.
Very good, Daniel.
Lieutenant Governor, you recently took this fight to Washington yourself. You went and you chaired a hearing, I believe, on the legislation that is several states are now adopting. Tell us a little bit about your trip. Were you able to lobby a few members on the Hill? Tell us a little bit about your trip there recently.
Absolutely. It was a great trip. It was too short, but we were able to get a lot of good work done in a matter of 1.5 days. We had a briefing there at the press conference there in Washington, D.C. We were able to lobby all of our congressional delegates. I visited with Congressman Fulcher, Senator Risch, who was very instrumental, very key, because he chairs the Foreign Affairs Committee. And then Senator Crapo as well. I wasn't able to see Simpson on our trip, but it was a great experience to meet many others from across the country, share the commitment and the effort with fellow legislators and veterans from all across, and just gain a lot of synergy. We met General Baldock, who is actually running for Senate in New Hampshire today. They're having their primary, and he's one of the longest serving generals in Afghanistan. He's now running for the Senate. He's a perfect candidate for this job, and I wish him the best of luck. Maybe we'll come over and help him campaign this year.
Wonderful. We will have to go, but I have another comment, and then we'll let you finish up. But you know, the Concerned Veterans for America is a great group, and you mentioned Dan McKnight, and we haven't hit him on our program, and that has been very useful. And I think what you're doing there, and I understand, I read that little story about your protection, you know, your guards on your campaigning. You said, no, they're just my friends, and I thought that was pretty neat. But they're very important. I think as a veteran, they have credibility. If they've been over there, especially some of them changed their minds entirely. And the other point I want to make, and I know you understand this, is that it isn't going over, and if you're lucky, you get back and everything is okay. So much endless suffering, so much suffering of families, divorces, and you've already mentioned the people coming back injured, and then the epidemic of suicide by veterans. It's tragic. I don't think they come close to ever measuring and defining how much suffering comes from wars that are absolutely preventable. There's no need for this. So I congratulate you on this. I'm delighted you do work with these veterans.
Well, I love them. They do come home, and they are still so committed to providing safety and security and protecting our liberties and freedom in America. And they're, you know, they protect us, whether you're Democrat, Republican, independent, libertarian. Their job, and they're committed to that, to helping protect us as Americans. And so I'm glad to call them my friends.
Very good. And we want to go ahead and close. Do you have any particular way that viewers might get in contact with you? Do you have a special website or a special group that you'd like to recommend that our listeners refer to?
Well, if you just Google Janice McGeehan, Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, we have a website. We also have a Facebook page, and we're very active on social media and welcome messages and words from people all across the country. And I'm happy to help pass that support to those who are helping to lead as far as the legislators and the veterans here in Idaho on this effort. So please contact us and reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
Very, very good, Jess. I want to thank you once again for being on our program, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, and you too.
Okay, and I want to thank our viewers for tuning in today, and please come back to the Liberty Report soon.